Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happens to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped through his blood.
Step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichukwu today.
Personalize your worship this evening. Lead on the king, the Sundalim Pradesh. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. Tikaru shetea la de zumbrendeka. To you our heart is lifted. To you our voice is raised. Le po shandelibre de ko shandayata. Le pradasa in praise and adoration. Le paya le do shakataya. For you are our almighty everlasting Father. You are our almighty and everlasting Father. You are the Father of all glory. Le ke to shetea gata. We worship you this evening. We worship you this evening. We worship you this evening, Lord. Le paya tosha, li keri de sundeli bregeteya, le paya tosha teya, le pradeko rabadesha. Everywhere you are, I paradesha, from the gallery to the overflows. Everywhere you are, in every church all over the nations of the earth, from any part of the world you're watching, repore satire, lift your voice, for our God is great and is greatly to be praised. We bring before him the fruit of our lips, even the sacrifice of our praise. Lift your voice and praise his name. Lift your voice and worship him today. Repore de sata, repare de ketesha. Before you the kings bow. Before you the princes bow. Before you the queens and the princesses bow. Before you, O God, every noble bow. Before you the nations bow. For you are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. You are the Ancient of Days. You are the rock of all ages. You are he that was and is and is to come. Le poshetea, libre kite ko shakataya. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, without beginning and without any end. Le poshakataya, le garides. We praise you, mighty God. We praise you, wondrous God. We praise you, faithful God. We praise you, loving God. You are good and your mercies endure forever. You are good. We have seen your goodness in our lives. We have seen your greatness in our lives. We have seen your mighty acts in our lives. We praise you according to your excellent greatness. We praise you. You are the excellent glory. You are the perfection. You are the everlasting light. We bless your name. We bless your name. Ayakataya kataya. Eh baragadeya. Le krede sataya lakata. Le krende kaya la barade shakata. Le bragada kataya. Oni honyonginayana chieze. You are God all by yourself. I parade higher than the highest. bigger than the biggest, stronger than the strongest. You are almighty, everlasting King of glory. You do wondrous works, and they are marvelous in our eyes. And we lift our hands and praise you. And we lift our voices and give you thanks. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lift your voice and begin to give him thanks for what he has been doing in Super Fortizo from Monday up to this day, for what he has been doing, for the revelations, for the illumination of our hearts, for the illumination of our hearts, the eyes of our understanding being flooded with light, the light of the knowledge of his glory, the light of the knowledge of his will, for the impartation of wisdom, for the pouring out of grace on our hearts, upon our lives, for his mighty hand upon us. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks. Oh, we give you glory. Thank you for satisfying us early. And our voices will be lifted to you in rejoicing. Thank you for giving us early satisfaction this year. And thank you for satisfying our soul. Oh, with the presence of your glory. Thank you for satisfying our mouth with your goodness. That even our youth, our strength is renewed like the eagles. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for granting us the desires of our hearts and giving us early satisfaction. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name. Wave those hands in adoration to him. Wave those hands in adoration to him. Oh, the Lord our God is mighty in our midst. We praise you, Father. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we have prayed. You love the Lord and you have no apology. And you are radical in praising him. Give him a mighty big clap offering of praise. And shout a big hallelujah to his name. Shout a big hallelujah to his name. Shout a big hallelujah to his name. Hallelujah. Have your seat in God's presence. Praise the Lord. We are going straight to what we've been doing about the basics of fasting. And we have learned that fasting means abstinence from food. That's literally what it means. Nestia. And is usually used to reflect voluntary abstinence for religious purposes. That's, you know, the literal. And now from the literal we will get into the revelation. Somebody say a big amen. And we said if fasting is about abstinence from food, for us to get and understand the revelation of fasting, we have to know what food represents and its basic purposes. And we said the first thing food represents is nourishment. And the purpose of nourishment is for strength, for health, and for growth. So we receive nutrients from food for strength, for health, and for growth. And then we said the second thing that food represents, it represents, or its major purpose is gratification. We get gratification from food. So, and its purpose is for satisfaction, for entertainment, and for pleasure. So when you begin to notice that, you'll see
that when we fast revelationally, we are not just fasting from physical food. We are fasting from everything food represents. We are fasting from fleshly appetites and fleshly gratification. Somebody say fleshly appetite and fleshly gratification. Say it again, fleshly appetite and fleshly gratification. Now, we established that the flesh, the physical body of a man, will always hunger for food. And it will always demand food. It will demand pleasure. It will demand satisfaction. And the same way the physical flesh demands these things, the spirit of a man and the soul of a man can also thirst. The same way the physical body can thirst for water and for drink, that's the same way that the soul and the spirit or the heart of a man can thirst for God and thirst for spiritual things. That's the same way it can hunger for spiritual things. We established that. And then we moved forward to show that God himself satisfies every spiritual hunger and every thirst. And God himself satisfies every spiritual hunger and every thirst. And he does that through his son, Jesus Christ. He does that only and only through his son, Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. He does that only and only through his son, Jesus Christ. That's why you see some people in their experiences. And I've been there when I had not fully surrendered my heart to Jesus. And I used the words fully. I have not come to the realization of who I am because I was raised in a very godly home. And I made my confession for Jesus while I was still a child. Okay? And so you could say that all my life, we had morning devotions, we had night prayers, we had Bible lessons. I was taken to a good church. But there was a time when I came to an age of full accountability. After I have drifted and drifted, I now came to the realization and said, Lord, no, this life is yours. I'm surrendering it fully. And that's what I'm saying. So I want you to understand that when I came to that point, but before that point, I had other experiences where you just feel so overwhelmed sometimes, where you feel so frustrated with your own life, with your own goodness, with your own trying to fix your own life, even just trying to understand the meaning of life. And sometimes you do certain things that get you relieved. And it might get you relieved spiritually. Like sometimes you just go for a service. And in that service, you feel this warmth of the Lord. You hear the word of God. And maybe sometimes you decide to play some worship songs. And then you cry. And then you feel relieved. But what you're going to notice is that that yet does not last. After a while, whatever it is, and the relief you're feeling eases off, and the person goes back to square one. Because God doesn't satisfy the hunger of the soul through worship songs. And so playing worship songs can create an atmosphere. Praying worship songs can communicate certain things that will relieve our soul. But that's not where true satisfaction comes from. Until a man meets Jesus himself. And until a man has a revelation of Jesus and receives Jesus Christ as his Savior, surrenders his life to Jesus Christ as his Lord. Until a man begins to consciously walk with Jesus Christ, learn of Jesus Christ, or learn from Jesus, be taught of Jesus Christ, and grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, he will never know true satisfaction. God only satisfies, hear me, God only satisfies the hunger and then the thirst in the heart of a man through Jesus Christ, his son. No one else. Nothing else. No way else. Nowhere else. And you and I know that a man can be in a church and attend church for 20 years and not encounter Jesus. Hearing about Jesus is different from having a real encounter with Jesus. A man can be in the choir. A man can be a lecturer in a school, in the church school, teaching Bible study. A man can even become a pastor and never encounter Jesus. I'm telling you the truth. There is a Christian religion that people can fit into the mold of that religion without having a relationship of Christ, with Christ. Without having a relationship, a vital relationship with Christ. There are a lot of people who talk about Jesus that have never met Jesus. An incident happened some years ago. And the mother of one of our members many years ago felt that the daughter was not following her path. And she was not living a good life. I mean, she was one of those kind of women that used to take what belongs to another woman. And so there was this particular person, and I won't go beyond that. This particular person and this particular man had left the wife with the children. The wife with the children. And packed into this woman's house. In the same city, just a few streets away. Do you understand? When that happens, you know that the Oboleko Komiyo is very strong. Abandoned the wife with kids. Now, packed into this woman's house. And the woman is older than him. So you understand. You know those kind of women. Wave your hands if you understand what I'm saying. If they owe you. If they owe you. May no one here, in the name of Jesus Christ, fall into the hands of strange men or strange women. In the name of Jesus Christ. And so this was happening. And one day I was praying. And I saw, and I didn't know, this lady has been calling this particular man my uncle. My uncle. I kept wondering why he's calling the person my uncle. I didn't suspect anything. I didn't ask any questions. You have other members in the church. But one day I was praying and I saw where a woman was naked and doing certain strange things and putting her hand on the ground, they're carrying sands and laying a curse on this woman and her children. Laying a very serious curse. And then suddenly, I called the lady. I said, what's going on? I saw this in a vision. What's going on? And then she now told me exactly what was going on. And told me the truth. And so I sat her down as a member of the church. I said, we're going to start praying for your mother. There is nothing that God cannot do. There is no heart God cannot break and God cannot deliver. So we are going to be praying for your mother for her deliverance. But first of all, you have reached the age of accountability. You are in the university right now. In fact, she was even about graduating at that moment. And so you cannot claim ignorance. God will judge you too if you partake of the sins of your mother. And so she said, yes, pastor. And so I took her through certain scriptures and told her from this day to stand before her mother and declare the truth. and then take herself away, no matter what it will cost you. I know the money from the man may be paying your school fees. Refuse to collect the school fees, we will help you. Refuse to collect anything and tell your mother you will never partake of anything that comes from that man. And separate yourself right here, right now. Tell your other siblings and have a stand on the truth. I said it's not going to be easy. You will be persecuted. You will lack certain good things that used to come. I say, but you will be sowing a seed for a future to come. And you will take yourself away from that kind of curse. I say, because you can shout amen from now till tomorrow. If you eat what comes from that man, you will partake of the curse that comes from the woman. You can confess Jesus with one mouth and partake of the offerings of demons on the other side. You don't do that. You don't do that. When you join yourself to demonic things, you become, by voluntary consent, by you yourself gave consent, you become, by voluntary consent, one with the same altar. One with the same altar. So I told her, and she started taking that step. Now, I'm telling the story to get to a place. Now, this mother is now noticing a change. Is this what I brought you to school for? Now, she's finished school, and because of the state of the house, she doesn't want to go back to that house anymore. Stays back, tries to get her spiritual root, and the mother raised hell. I mean, she had some connections. Called the father of the girl. They were not okay together. Called her, and different things happened. And to cut the whole story short, a mother took her daughter and locked her up in the police station. A police station. And so I heard. Thank God my father, my earthly biological father, was around that day. I stormed after service. I went there and I raised heaven in police station. I raised heaven. And they were telling me, but what is my own? Am I not just the pastor? This is the biological mother. I refused. And while I was doing that, this particular man happened to work in an institution in the same city where I am. And so he started telling a story. Now, the police commissioner was the one who told me this story of the petitions that were, in fact, said they know me. I went to school here. They describe everything. And the man was saying he knows me. I was in a cult. I was a cultist. And then they started describing different things. That when the police commissioner was telling me, and fortunately the police commissioner was a friend, and they didn't know that I had another pastor friend, that he also was a member of their church. We normally we visit in their home. We are part of family. We go with the family loves us and all those things. So police commissioner, when they brought, he said, "Is it the Pastor David you're talking about?" I said, "He said you have lost your mind." And that was how God helped us that period. But to tell you the story, this man stood and boldly said he knew me. Have you ever met anybody who said they know Pastor David? Yes. Have you ever heard some people who say they know you, and you know they don't know nothing about you? That's it. Seeing me on the TV doesn't mean you know me. Seeing me online doesn't mean you know me. Reading about me, what anybody wrote about me, doesn't know you, mean you know me. When you meet me, you will know me. I want to ask you, what version of Jesus do you know? The one people told you, or the one you met? You see, that other man had a version of me that he could fabricate. And if somebody had not met me, if that police commissioner had not met me, if we hadn't had fellowship, that we used to go to his house, sit down, they'll bring food. The wife loved us. We will share the word of God. If that police commissioner had not met me and not known me, whatever the other guy fabricated, he could have believed it. But because he had a first hand knowledge of me, by meeting me one on one, fellowshipping with me fellowshipping with him and his family, he knew immediately that it was not even a case. It was not even a case. In fact, he told me, he said, the picture they told him, they painted for him, is that this a man that keeps people bound, like in those churches where you have some places where they chain people and lock up. He told me, he said, I was getting some squads to come on your church to launch an invasion. He said, I didn't even know it was you that they were talking about. I didn't know it was you. You see, case dismissed immediately because he knew me. You know, the only people that can listen to the argument that Christianity is the fabrication, fictional manipulation of stories put together by Europeans to enslave Africans. You know the kind of people that will listen to that kind of thing and try to reason it out. Are you sure? Anyway, it's better you're open-minded. It's better you're broad-minded. Let's even investigate this. The only kind of people are the ones that have not met him. How do you tell me it's a fabrication when he talked with me this morning? When, while you're talking, he's talking with me, and he's real, very real. How do you tell me when I've received revelations and wisdom and you just know this is God? How do you tell me when I'm full of the Holy Spirit and of His power and I manifest the Holy Spirit in reality, not fake? Oh, the tongues I speak is fake, but we spoke it and someone dead got raised from the dead. The same tongue we spoke and someone that was born SS, the Lord by just one word changes the genotype to AA. Oh, the tongue is fake. Oh, the test result, is it fake too? Someone that came with a growth and the growth disappears. The Lord takes it away. Someone that has been deaf for 21 years, we saw it last year, 21 years of deafness, and the ear opens just by a word, and you tell me it's fake. Have you met Jesus? Or are you just doing what everything else you're told to do based on the setting of your church, based on what your pastor says? Have you met Jesus? Behold, I'm standing at the door and I knock. If you open up your heart, he said, there is no one that comes to me will I in any way cast away. Have you met Jesus? And then, for many of us who have met Jesus, and most of us who have met Jesus, I remember the first time I met my wife. I don't want to go further than that. I just met my wife. But she's so loving that you can't forget meeting her. She was so eccentric, you couldn't forget her. And then I remember I had to get to know her. Imagine the first time you meet somebody and say, who is this small girl? Why is she talking like this? Why is she all those? Why is she showing herself? By then, the Holy Spirit had not removed the worry inside her. Hey. She will come and tell you, like, no shy from you. It didn't say you go sit from my nose and gain balance. That kind of thing. You understand what I'm saying? Born and raised in worry. And I said, who is this girl? And then when my spirit began to pick another frequency. You see, I've met her. She's now in church. But my spirit began to pick another frequency when I started saying, Lord, is it time? I had now to meet her. So you have met Jesus, but have you met Jesus? It's one thing to receive Jesus as your Savior. It's another thing to surrender as Lord. When he becomes a master, sovereign, supreme, your leader, and he instructs you and you obey. So there are people that still just know him as Savior. And what it means is that he's only there to save them, to heal them, to help them. While they live their own life, make their own plans, do their own things, and whenever they need a Savior, Jesus is my Savior. Then after a while, he has to reveal himself as Lord. As a Savior, you tell him what you want for him to do for you. As Lord, he tells you what he wants for you to go and do. You don't instruct him, he instructs you. He begins to lead you. That's another time. Then you get to a place where you now have to know him as friend. Partnership, lover, where you come into intimacy. So after I married my wife, that we've known each other and talked about marriage, planned our wedding together, 1 week after, standing in the, just, I remember that day, looking out of the window and saying, Chai, I made a mistake. You know, you so love a person and then you get married to the person only to discover you're so different. Two of you are so different. So different. You say, they close my eye. And then I had to meet the Joan before marriage. But after marriage, I had to meet the Joan I married. They are two different ladies. She had to meet me, a different man. I believe she saw a whole lot of things that she didn't bargain for. I believe she was like, oh, I married this wonderful young man, this pastor. I believe she didn't know I could snore. This sweet pastor that will just raise his hands. Somebody say intimacy. I like the way T.D. Jakes puts it. He say intimacy. Where you're not having the communion with the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. You're not having communion, fellowship, participation. You're getting to know him. You see, that hunger that I may know you, that I may know the power of your resurrection. The Apostle Paul, there is now this thing about I want to know. I want to grow in the knowledge of you. The greatest prayer that the Holy Spirit had ever led my heart to pray was just a cry. And at different times and seasons in my life, I cried. Even till lately, last December, I was still crying the same thing. Just a cry. When that thing comes upon me, the only thing I cry is, reality, Lord. That's the only prayer. Two words. And it's with my tears I've not been able to say more than that for years. I'll just be crying, reality, Lord. Reality. That Christ will dwell in our hearts through faith. That we will have the evidence of the unseen. Yet, we don't touch him with our physical hands. Yes, we don't see him with our physical eyes. But our hearts indict a great matter. Our hearts hold on. Is very, very convinced. Very, very beyond any form of doubt. Fully persuaded with reality that God is. And he lives in us. By his spirit. That Jesus dwells in us. By his spirit. And then you can have that communion with him. And the more you commune, the more he reveals himself. The more you build that intimacy, the more he reveals himself. The more you commune, the more he reveals himself. And then you begin to see his power. And you begin to see his glory. And you see the manifestations of his wisdom in every area of your life. So how can a man tell me God is not real? When my heart has seen the Lord and I have seen his glory, how do you confuse me about what I have seen, what I have heard, and what my hands have handled of the word of life? How do you confuse me? There is no argument there. I have seen his power. I have seen his glory. So I want you to see. This is beautiful. Matthew chapter 11 verse 28. Give me the New King James first. Go there first. I want you to read, not to your neighbor, to yourself. Give yourself this gift. Read it so loud. Not just your ear hears it, your spirit hears it. Everybody read, want to go. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Jesus is the one speaking. Jesus is the one speaking. Not come to church. Yes, when you come to church, you hear the word of life. When you come to church, you come under the atmosphere of the corporate anointing. You come into the atmosphere of the blood of sprinkling. You come into the atmosphere of the company of innumerable angels. And angels will minister to you. But at the end of the day, even in the church service and in the church gathering, you can choose to be pressing your phone. You can choose to distract yourself with different things. We saw Mary and Martha in the very presence of Jesus. One was encumbered with serving and was very distracted, but the other was focused on sitting at the feet of Jesus while listening to him. There are people who come to church, and every time they come to church, they are so encumbered, so distracted with how they're going to snap pictures, how they're going to usher, how they're going to do that, how they're going to do that, how they will sing. And there are some people that if you take that away from them and tell them this service you're not serving, they now stay away from church. You say, why? You say, I'm not on duty. But the reason in our ministry, we created two teams and said no church worker should work every service. No, it is unhealthy. The reason is that when you are not on duty, you should be the first sitting in front, waiting to enjoy opening prayers, to enjoy praise and worship. You are not the one singing it this time around. You are the one enjoying it. Now, you want to enjoy the word of God. But the people with the martyr syndrome always will think that when they are not serving, they are on leave from church. Instead of embracing it as a great opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus like Mary. Some are in church and they can't stay fully for 1 hour, 30 minutes or 2 hours without looking on their phones, without going outside, without going to talk to somebody, without replying chats. But they are in church, but they have not come to Jesus. They came to church, but they have not come to the Christ of the church. Some come to church so a man will see them and get married to them. Yes. Some come to church because that's the reigning church. If you want to belong, you go to Lamb. That's where you're going to see young, successful people. People doing great things. They want connections. They want connects. So at the end of the day, they keep looking around for who came with a big car and who came with this car and who is well dressed and connecting with people. Some come to church so they will increase their photo album in their gallery. So before you say, "Let us share the grace," they are outside. Snap me. They pay more attention on their selfies and the pictures they take with their friends than they take, than they give attention to the message. Some come to church because the person they are dating comes to church. Ask your neighbor, why are you here? Some get so committed, become leaders. And sometimes they come to church because the standard for the workforce is the associate pastors, the supervisory pastors, the church group pastors, the directors will ask, "Why are you not in church?" In fact, they've asked them 3 times, so they come. The psalmist said, "I was glad when they said to me." But for some people, they were dragged when they said to them. Coming to church is a burden. So they need different things to distract themselves within that short 1 hour, 30 minutes or that 2 hours. If at once they sit down and the sermon starts going on, they start sleeping. They battle with sleep always. And Jesus says, "Come to me." Not come to activities, come to me. In the activities, sit down and hear me. What am I doing in there? People will rather come for a picnic, come for a film show, come for a comedy show in a church than they will come for a prayer meeting where they will have an encounter with God. They will rather. Thank God the tide is turning and there is a revival of God's work in our generation. Now prayer meetings are more attended than picnics. Give God praise for that. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29, everybody please read and read out very loud. One, two, go. "Take my yoke upon you." And what? Have you been learning from Jesus? Who's been teaching you? Hollywood, Nollywood, Bollywood, or Holy Spirit? Who's been teaching you? Social media? Where have have you been getting your convictions from? Who's been inspiring your thoughts? Who's been influencing your convictions? Did you hear what I said about the police commissioner? If the police commissioner didn't have one-on-one fellowship with me, get to know me, and me knowing him and his family, if that police commissioner didn't, whatever else was said about me, he would have suspected and maybe tried to investigate. You see, there are many people trying to get to know God based on what somebody is saying on social media, including people calling themselves pastors. And you forgot that this good book, this word of God, this God in words, for the beginning there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That same Word that was God, is God, will forever be God. Give him praise. Have you read the Bible for yourself? Laying before the Lord with tears and say, reveal yourself to me. Because his hunger is that thing that hungers. He said, he that hungers and thirsts for righteousness, Matthew chapter 5 verse 6, shall be filled. He that hungers shall be filled. Have you been in that place where you want to know him for yourself? Have you read the Bible for yourself? Like the noble Bereans, that even when your pastor is through teaching, you go back, use what you were taught, open the scriptures, and meditate on the word of God yourself, and know it not just because your pastor said it, but because God revealed it to you. Today, people are getting their convictions from social media snippets and excerpts. Caught, not even full messages. Somebody just said something. Once it's trending, it must be truth. Don't you know that narrow is the way? You don't need any investigation. Once you see what the world is saying, yes, yes, that's not God. Once is what the world, they celebrate it without it changing them. They say, yes, that's what we are saying, but they are not surrendering their lives to Jesus. God is not there. It's just words, empty words. Even the devil quotes scriptures. So that a man is quoting scripture and speaking doesn't mean God is speaking. Do you know how many Christians have set themselves aside from the plan of God for their lives, from the ways of God, from the will of God, just because they heard someone? Because today anybody can pick up the mic and say, I'm a pastor, I'm called. I'm a priest, I'm called. In fact, even the juju ones and idolaters and the witchcrafts, the witches are no longer hiding. Everybody now has a voice. Once you have a camera and your ring light, you can say something. Now, how many of us have so fellowship with God in his word, in prayer, known the voice of the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus said, hey, my sheep knows me. My sheep knows my voice. And the voice of a stranger, he will not follow. How many of you have so heard the voice of God that when you hear someone else who is a false teacher or a false prophet or a fake prophet saying anything about Jesus that doesn't represent the Jesus you are revealed to in the world, how many of you can say like that police commissioner, this is not Jesus, this is not Pastor David? How many of you? Have you come to Jesus? Go back to 11:29. He said, learn of me. He said, that's a yoke. It's a responsibility. There are some commitments. You will have to open the Bible. You won't be in your bed.
and I will just code in the scriptures in your heart. No, you will read it. You will meditate on it. You will confess it. It will be in your heart and you will put it in your mouth. It shouldn't be lacking. There is a responsibility. You will have to study. You will have to sit at my feet. You will have to wake up and pray. And then I will answer the prayers.
You want me to manifest my glory? Pray and ask me.
I won't just manifest until you ask. Ask and you will receive. So there is a yoke. There is a responsibility. But he said, I am gentle. I'm lowly in heart.
You will find rest for your souls. I'll be gentle with you. I will not put anything ill-fitting on you. I won't put a yoke that will frustrate you. I am very gentle and I'm humble. I won't use you. I will raise you. I won't abuse you. I will comfort you. I will make you. I will build you. Look at verse 30. Everybody read. And read out loud. One to go. One more time. One more time. I want us to go back to that scripture, the Amplified, fast, please. So how does God satisfy the hunger of the heart of a man? Through his son Jesus. He gives us Jesus, we receive him, and he begins to increase us in the knowledge. The more you know him, the more satisfied you are. So if you have received him and you're still battling with different kinds of frustration and depression are different, it means you received him while ignoring him. You've been focusing and investing your time, giving your attention to everybody else, everything else, every other project except him. You've not created and carved out quality time to cultivate a working relationship with him. You're not knowing him. You're not growing in the knowledge of him. That's it too. As simple as it is. And people will do everything else. They will use their money thinking, if I can just go for holiday in Malibu, if I can just go to Paris, I want to go to Disneyland Paris, I hear it's the best, with my just for a month. They come and they say, I really rested. Oh, thank God. Exactly 3 weeks after the person comes back, it don't last like Felelebo. It don't punch out tire, and the guy is battling again his return. So people have been using money, using relationship, using sex, using drugs, using entertainment, anything they can to satisfy this thing, this longing of the soul, and yet it's not working. They party, they hang out, they finish hanging out, when the music is off and everybody is back at home, they just notice they have to face themselves that they only forgot their sorrows for a while. You know, they go anywhere because they are trying to use something else to feel only what Jesus can feel. You know, the Lord taught me many times when we have very great projects and we execute it well. When the heart is excited for the things you've achieved, that's when you're most vulnerable. Because you're looking for who to celebrate. You're looking for the applause of people. You're looking for people to, you're looking for how at that moment you open up to different things. So when we have projects, when we have miracle services, big programs, and things work, and I'm so excited this is done, the Lord say, withdraw. That's why you see me, I'll just go straight into the car. After a while, they will tell me, okay, I need to see a few people. I see them and I go back. The next few days, I'm withdrawn. Alone with him. That's what Jesus did while he walked in the flesh. Every time he will heal people, finish the, after a great miracle service, everybody's healed. Everybody. Sometimes he has multiplied bread. The next thing is he withdraws to the Father. If not, your heart will yearn for satisfaction from something else. If not. And that's how ministers get themselves into problems. At that moment, they start looking for something else. And bam, the devil just places what they like. Because everybody is tempted according to their desires. So hold your neighbor as we read. And I want us to read it to your neighbor this time around. Call your neighbor by his or her name and call it loud. One to go. Say, Mr. David. Say, hear the word of the Lord. Read it to your neighbor. One to go. Come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened. And I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve. And refresh your soul. Is that not what you want? Verse 29. One more time. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me. For I am gentle. Meek. Humble. Lowly in heart. And you will find rest. Relief. And ease. And what? Refreshment. And what else? Is not people not wanting refreshment in alcohol? In food? Are people not wanting recreation with all ungodly? They want to club? They want to do? Is that not what they're looking for? And blessed quiet for your souls. God created us, and there are times we want to laugh. God laughs, so we must laugh. And there are times that human body just needs to relax, and I mean, you can't come and kill yourself for anybody. But that's not where the satisfaction comes from. Look at verse 30 first. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good. Not, that means whatever I'm going to teach you, in whatever way I will lead you, I'm not harsh. I'm not hard. I'm not sharp. It's not going to be pressing on you. But it's going to be comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. The reason is hard, pressing, harsh, is because people have followed man-made religion. People have created heaven God didn't create. Created hell God didn't create. Created laws God didn't give to the new creation. And now the side, there are inspectors of heaven and earth. Assistant Holy Spirits. Who know exactly who is going to heaven and who is going to hell. Who knows exactly who is close to God and who is not close to God. And when you follow man-made laws, human dogmas, religion is going to be hard. Is that it is not Jesus, it's men that made it. The more you know Jesus, the more you free men. The more you know Jesus, the more you give men liberty. You're going to understand. Not that there is without law or order. No, Jesus will teach you order. But it's not an entrapping order. My burden is light and easy to be borne. Somebody give him praise. You better give him praise. Do you believe that praise is for Jesus? It will be different when you believe it. It will be different when you believe it. Sit down. Give me that scripture, verse 28 from the Message translation. Now call your neighbor, say you better hear this one now. So different translations helping us to understand better what that scripture is saying. Read to your neighbor, one to go. Are you tired? Worn out? Burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. Tell your neighbor, get away with him. Say, put off the phone. Put off your systems. Put off the tabs. Put off the television. Put off the noise. Say, learn to spend an alone time with Jesus. Whatever you receive in corporate worship begins to thrive in your life when you develop a thriving private worship. Whatever people receive in corporate worship fade away when they don't cultivate a private worship. You are not in church every day, but hear the revelation of the scriptures. He said the fire on the altar should not go out. He said, so let the priest, how many of you know we are of a chosen generation? A royal priesthood. He has made us priests and kings unto God. So every priest here, release a sacrifice of praise unto our Father. And hear the word of the Lord. Praise shall not cease from your lips this year. Your praise will not be replaced with reproach. Instead of shame, you will have praise. Instead of shame, you will have double honor. In the mighty name of Jesus. As you praise God, the enemy and the avenger shall be silenced for your sake. As you praise God, the devourer shall be rebuked for your sake. In the name of Jesus, give him praise. Now watch this. The revelation is, for the fire on the altar, I've taught you that in the new creation there are only two altars. I've taught you. The first is the heart of a believer. That's your altar. That's where God dwells. That's the mercy seat. That's where you are now the ark that carries the glory of God. You, the believer. Then the second altar is the congregation of believers. When two or three of us come together, the Spirit is there in our midst. That body of Christ, that church, that's the ark of God. That's where His glory dwells. That's where the fire falls. So while we are in church, we are before the altar of the Lord. But this one is that you have now gone home. You've collected fire. There is an impartation from the corporate altar. Now, the altar in your own life should not go out. The Bible said the priests should put wood there every day. Every morning, put wood. So people that don't have a wait time, wake up in the morning, your phone. You pride yourself in how busy you are as a believer. It means you are romancing stupidity with foolishness joined together. You pride yourself as a believer. As a believer, you gain time when you spend time with God. As a believer, you're not wise if you're too busy and too distracted and too focused on everything else and you don't have quality time that you spend with Him alone, not the one in church. What improves your growth spiritually? What triggers your growth spiritually is not what you receive in church. That's where you get the raw material. It's what you do individually as a believer. And what you do daily. That's what makes the mark. Get Pray with me and you recover your life. Hold that neighbor and read it again. Stand on your feet now. Ashakataya. If you know his name, call his name. If you know his name, call his name. If you know his name, call his name. If you know his name, praise his name. He is Lord. He is Lord. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. This year, come to me. I'll give you quantum leaps. Come to me. I know the route. I know how to get there faster than you can imagine. I know how to get you there without sorrow. Come to me. Now hold that neighbor. Read that scripture with that to that neighbor. Want to go? Are you tired? Worn out? Burn out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real verse 29. Watch this. Walk with me and walk with me. How many of you are going to walk with him this year? Are you going to be making your own plans and asking him to bless it? Are you going to say, Lord, what's your plan for my life? Are you going to get into partnership with his will? As it is in heaven, let it be here on earth. How many of you are going to walk with him in partnership with him? We talked about it yesterday. Do not embrace the bread of sorrows. This year, you will not eat the bread of sorrows. So read it again, verse 29, and read out loud. Want to go? Walk with me and walk with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced redeems of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep and you will learn. Does that sound like a depressed life? Does that sound like a life that today is excited, tomorrow is frustrated? Does that sound like rising and falling kind of life? So do you see where Christians are missing it? They follow Christian religion and despise Christ of Christianity. They follow their activities and despise spirituality. They go after fun and hype. They go after social connections and forget communion. Too busy. What foolishness. When last did you cry under the weight of the glory of God? I remember the days I'll cry. I said, Lord, why does my heart feel so cold and feel so strong? I want to be broken before you. That I be childlike before you. I want to know the warmth of your embrace. I want to know the weight of your glory. And I said, Lord, like the potter does the clay, I surrender all to your hands. Break me and mold me the way you want. Because God answers. He answers the desires of the heart. He answers the desires of the heart. Tomorrow I will show you how this works. I will show you how this works. The secret is desire. And that's what happens when we fast. When we fast, we subdue the appetite of the flesh and we heighten the appetite of the spirit, and the spirit will now begin to cry out. Alabalakataya. So when you're starting the first day, everything is fighting. You're still going back to social media. You're still going back to movies. Don't worry. It's just a start. The engine has not been on for a while. Don't give up. You're not unfaithful. No, it's a journey. Don't give up. So when you feel like you're not watching the movie, put it off. Again, you're drawn again to the phone. Don't worry. Fast again the next day. Fast again the third day. After a while, as you're doing it, after a while, the appetite of the flesh, the longing for entertainment, the longing for pleasure, the longing for I want to gist with someone, the longing for social media will start going down and start going down. And then the cry of the spirit man, that eternity that is in your spirit, will begin to find expression. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Suddenly, your tongues are being refined. You begin to notice it's no longer heavy. It's flowing freely. But while you're there, stay there. There is something a prolonged fast does. It gives God ample time to finish the work. Lift your hands and pray in the spirit. As you're singing that song, pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit and love on your Lord. Pray in the spirit. Light is shining. This is super fortizo. What used to be in shadows becomes reality. Becomes reality. What used to be shadows becomes reality. What used to be fiction becomes evidence. Hiya.
You are God. We join creation to say you are God. The four beasts and the elders and the saints are saying, you are God. 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 Yahweh, Yahweh. Yahweh, Yahweh. Yahweh, Yahweh. Yahweh.
Not cry for things. Not cry for miracles. No, 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 no. Not cry for a new job. Not cry. Not cry for houses. Not cry. Not cry for contracts. That I may know you. I cry. Thank you for the miracles you do. But I treasure you the miracle worker more than the miracles. I treasure you the giver more than the gifts. Thank you for the gifts you give. But thank you for the gifts that I may know you. That I may know the power of your resurrection. Hey. 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 Hey, call about that time. Father, I don't want to serve the food for others to eat and not eat myself. Your word says that the husbandman is the first partaker of the harvest of the crop of the field. Lord, let the ministers and the pastors, all of us, let us not be serving food that we are not eating. Let us, let that cry come out. Let that cry come out of our heart. That I may know you. I already have you. I'm already one with you.
You already live within me. But I want to know you. I want to know you. I don't want a stranger living in me. That I may know you. Deep in my communion with you. Deep in my communication with you. Reveal yourself afresh. Legeleto sakata. That I may know your power in this sanctuary. That I may know your glory like I've never known before. Legrado shakata. Lift your hands. Everywhere, make sure your hands are lifted very high. To the Father of spirits. To the God of all flesh. To the Father of all glory. To the consuming fire. Our hands are lifted up. And Father, our hearts cry that we may know you. That we may know the power of your resurrection. That we may know the glory after your sufferings. That we may know the fellowship of your spirit in depths and in heights, in width and in length, dimensions beyond human comprehension. That we may know your love that surpasses all gnosis and knowledge. That we may know reality, Lord, reality. That you will not be fiction, but that Christ dwells in our heart by faith. The anointed one and his anointing. That you will not be shadows. Let what used to be shadows become reality. Let what used to be fiction becomes evidence of faith. Dwell and reveal yourself. Reveal yourself in all of your glory. Lord, to everyone whose hands are lifted, to everyone whose eyes are on you, in this 14 days, new dimensions, in the spirit, in faith, in fire, in power, in knowledge, in wisdom, in authority, new dimensions, in the anointing. In revelations, new dimensions, Lord. Welcome to your days and seasons of the greater light. Thank you, Father, for what you've done here today. We'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Have your seat in God's presence.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 806-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.